Word. Father, we pray to bless the word. Nothing, 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 nothing can take the place of the word of God. Lord, it's our food. We pray to open the windows of heaven, speak to your children, and enlighten our heart as we break the bread of life. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. And we honor the Holy Spirit. And we covet the Holy Spirit to put the words in our heart as they need to come out. Inspire each heart, strengthen them, and lift them up this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. I have a little thought here in the 22nd chapter in the 16th verse. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. I am the bright and the morning star. Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd like to just use that as a kind of a starting point this morning, real quickly. And I'd like to quote that this way, Christ in you, the hope. Christ in you, the hope. Now, without Christ in us, we are without hope. I want to spend just a few minutes this morning to let everybody in this audience realize what you are missing if you go through life without Christ. I'm not talking about if you are a member of a church. You may be members of churches all over the country, and you may even go through prayers, and you may give great offerings to churches. You may have a conviction that you had a good godly mother and she's a Christian, and you accept the whole thing, and you believe that Christ was a wonderful individual, and you believe he was the very Son of God. And you're not serving God like you ought, but nevertheless, you're for the whole thing. You are still as lost as the devil. Unless Christ is in you, your good thoughts and your believing in Christ that he is this, that, and the other, the whole thing changes when Christ comes in. Now, I want to make some statements, and I never just try to take a thing out of its setting. I try to, if I read something, I'm sure that the whole Bible backs it up. The Bible says in John, he that hath the Son, that's Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Now that's a tremendous statement. It leaves out all that worship Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad. Any theory, any doctrine, any faith, no matter what it is, if it does not embrace the doctrine of Jesus Christ to the extent that they believe in a new birth, and at that new birth, Christ comes in your heart, you're lost. You're eternally lost, unless you die under the age of accountability. But I want you to notice here, you say, well now, Brother Hibbert, there's a lot of people that don't believe in Christ, doesn't have Christ. They dance, they have money, they eat three meals a day, they drive in Cadillacs. Don't you call that living? No. It says they're dead while they live. That's what the Bible said. Now, you could own the whole wide world and still have God's wrath abiding on you. Don't think for one minute because you've got a lot of money and even you think good toward the church and maybe send the preacher a nice, big, lovely offering now and then, that erases the curse of God upon your life. Now, this curse doesn't mean that you go into some kind of spells constantly, like when a witch has the power to put a spell upon you. No, you may live a long life. And somebody said, well, I'm going to chew tobacco. My grandpa was 84 years old when he died. He could spit 6 feet and hit a mark with that tobacco juice. He lived a long time. That doesn't make no difference, but your daddy living 85 years old, if he doesn't have Christ in his heart, and if he gets enough of Christ in his heart, that tobacco is going to spit out and stay out. Can you say amen? Amen. But the point I'm bringing at, I don't care who lives, how long, how much money they had, or how what good health they have. You may have health like a young bull. And you may have money like John D. and all the rest of them. And all that. But if you do not have Christ, you do not have hope. Why? Because the Bible said if you do not have Christ in your heart, the wrath of God abides upon you. What do we mean by that? It means there are two things that happen to every human being on earth. We are either abiding under the blessing of God or the curse of God. Now, when the judgment take place and he sends them all up before the judgment, they may come up there, they may have lived like the rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. He had roast rib, and he had the very best of wines. He had servants. He had money galore. He had friends. He had parties. He fared sumptuously. He just didn't get along good and pay his debts. He fared sumptuously every day. And he was referred to as a rich man. But he died and went to hell. Now, that meant that the wrath of God abide upon him. You do not have access to things that Christ made possible for you to have by accepting Jesus, letting Christ come in and be born again. So therefore, the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, I want to just stop here. Life is not just having money. Life is not just having health, because we proved that you could have plenty of health, you could have plenty of money, and yet not have life. Because it said, he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son shall not see life. Now, this life that we're talking about is not natural. The natural life is what we get by being born naturally from through Adam's transgression. And everybody that comes into this world naturally, they're a natural creature. They're a natural person. But when we are born again, we're not a natural person. We are born again and become sons of God and become children of God. Immediately, the Bible says that we were by nature the children of wrath. You see, now the children of wrath, you're in the kingdom of Satan. There's some fellow may say, well, I'm not going to be in the kingdom of Satan. Of course, I may not be in the kingdom of God. Well, now, brother, where are you going to be? You're a man without a country. I want you to make this known that if you are not in the kingdom of God, you are definitely in the kingdom of Satan. Because the Bible said there's only two kingdoms out there, and one is the kingdom of Satan. And when we get in the kingdom of God, you see, and you're not born with the first birth when your mama brought you in the world. You're not automatically born in the kingdom of God. You have to wait until you get of age, you know what you're doing, and with your own will, you accept Christ, and then when you accept Christ, what happens to you? You have a new birth. That's born again. Then you receive who? You receive Christ. Christ is who? Christ is the morning star. Revelation 2:13, he said, he that overcometh, he's talking to the church there, and the Thyatira church, he says, now, he that overcometh, and he went on to tell what he'd do, he said, I will give unto him the morning star. He that overcometh, If you're not overcomer, if you're not serving God, he'll never give you the morning star. You'll say, well, now, that morning star is that great big planet out there. I know, but the Bible cleared it up for us. Jesus said, I am the root. I am. And he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. And I am that bright and that morning star. And then in Revelation, he said to the church, he that overcometh, will I give the morning star. Meaning that he will give Jesus Christ. Nobody in heaven can take the place and say, I'm the morning star. There's only one in glory that is the morning star. Now, we know that star that comes up out there. That is the planet. We know that he doesn't put that in our heart. We know that. But he says, I am that morning star. Now, why did he refer himself to a morning star? Beautiful thought. He could have said, well, I'm Neptune, or I'm Jupiter, or I'm the sun that shines up, and gives us light. But he said, I'm the morning star. Now, the reason he said that is this. And I want you to notice that everybody doesn't get the morning star in your heart. It's those that love God, those that accept Christ. Because when you accept Christ, no man can say, I don't have the morning star, if he has Christ. If he has Christ, he has the morning star. If you're sitting here this morning, and every person in the city of Dallas that does not have Jesus Christ in their heart, they absolutely do not have the morning star. Now, connect that morning star with Jesus Christ, for he said, I am that bright, and I am that morning star. That I said to the children, I would give them the morning star. Now, what is the morning star? The morning star is the star that appears over the horizon right at the darkest, inky black time of the night. While it is the very darkest time, there is a little star that comes up. And for history out on the sea, farmers out on the farm, men lost out in the woods, how many hundreds of thousands of times they've waited and said, let's wait. I don't know which way north, south, east, or west is, but wait till the morning star comes up. And the minute the morning star comes up, they know where they are. They're no longer lost. They know where they are. Then what else does the morning star tell you? The morning star tells you that I am giving you a hope. There is a sunrise coming right after me. So hold on. It's the darkest time of night, but I'm appearing to tell you that this is the way, and soon the sun will be coming up in its brightness. It is giving men in darkness a hope. If ever we needed the bright and morning star in the bosom of human beings in America, we need that morning star there now to give one little thing they do not have. Why is it they're acting like they are? They find themselves without hope. Hope is one of the most wonderful things in all the world. When a man that loves his wife like his own life, and the doctor comes out, they've been fighting because it's just been going nick and tuck. It could go either way, the doctor has said to him time after time. And the man paces the floor. He makes the prayers the best he can. And finally the doctor comes out, takes him by the hand, and looks right at him and says, John, there is no hope. He takes hope away from that man's heart. There's no hope. She's still alive, but there's no hope. How many times have we had that same word apply? It may not be to a dying wife, but the message came to us. There's no hope. When a man stands before God And now life is over. The books are closed. The curtains have come to. Time is ended. Eternity has dawned. And God opens the books. The one thing that will haunt that man more than anything in the world, I am lost, and there is no hope of ever getting God to hear my prayer. No hope. I can't wake up and find it's a dream. There is no way to escape. There is no hope. As long, brother, as there is a fine, thin cord of hope, we fight, we battle on. And what is that morning star? It is placed in the bosom of God's people, Christians that have Christ. He is a morning star. He is telling you that this is not the end. There's a sunrise to the world. They're looking to a sunset. Nothing but a sunset. They have no sunrise. But to the Christian, the path of the righteous is a shining light, shining more and more into a perfect day. I don't know what. I can look back and see at the age of 19, I had money, you know. You know, of course, I wasn't rich, no, by no means. But I had money to buy food, and I had good time. My uncle had a theater down the street, and I'd go in there anytime I wanted to, play cards, drink a little beer, and cuss a little bit. And at the age of 19, I checked God out, and I got just about what the world had. But I didn't ever find life. I come that you might have life. And that nobody is ever going to have it until I do arrive. There is a life that never comes until I arrive on the scene. And at the age of 19, brother, like the Bible said, I was translated out of the kingdom of Satan, out of that darkness into the marvelous light, from death unto life. Ye which were dead in your trespasses and sins, you are now made alive in Christ. So from death to life. Death means separation. But when I came to Christ, all the blurred questions cleared up. Life had a meaning. I had a smile. I was no longer bound. There was a law called the law of sin and death that had dominion over me 100%. No matter what I wanted to do, and many times I did and I wanted to do it, I found myself like Paul. I could not do it because there was a power that held me bound. It was the fact that I was a child of Satan in the kingdom of the devil. I was blinded by sin. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was in bondage in the pawn shop of Satan. I needed a redemptive price to get me out. I was abiding and living under the law of sin and death. Now, where did the law of sin and death come from? Came from Adam. The Bible said when he sinned, he usurped, he sold us out to sin. One man's disobedience, sin passed upon all. And the law of sin and death came in. Had he not sinned, there wouldn't have been nobody getting sick. Never be a disease, never be sickness. All sickness and all disease comes from the law of sin and death. Every sin in the catalog, every sin a man can commit, it all comes from the law of sin and death. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ." And Christ is in them. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For, notice, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, it makes me free from the law of sin and death. Anybody on earth, any man in Dallas, any man here this morning, any woman that does not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are under the power of sin and death, and you cannot break yourself from it. I don't care what you do. There is only one law that has superiority and power over the law of sin and death, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free from the law of sin and death. Does it pay to serve Christ? Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, "Lady, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink of water, please." She was a woman of ill fame, had five husbands, one she lived with, common law wife. Women of the city wouldn't have anything to do with her. She came down up in the day because she waited. The other women came and went. They didn't want to have anything to do with her. She's a bad woman, questionable woman. Now here she meets Jesus at the well. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. And she looked at him. She said, "You're a Jew." He didn't say nothing. "We don't have anything to do with each other." As an argument, you read it. She said, "You Jews always say that Jerusalem is where you worship God. And we Samaritans say that up in the mountains where you worship God. And the Jews and Samaritans have no dealings together." "Just a minute, lady. If you knew who it was asking you for a drink of water, you'd ask me for a drink and I'd give it to you." She said, "How can you have water?" Said, "The well's deep and you don't have nothing to draw with." He said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "If you drink this water, do you thirst again?" And she said, "Well, sure. We drank it and then we thirst." Said, "I thought so." He said, "If you drink the water that I give you, it'll be in you. And it'll be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. For he that thirsteth, if you drink this water, he shall never thirst. And he that eateth of me shall never hunger." You will never hunger if you eat of me, and you'll never thirst if you drink of me. And if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water, and it'd be in you a well of living water, spring it up into everlasting life. And she said, "Lord, give me that water." And Jesus did what he said. He gave it to her, and she dropped her water pots right there. She forgot what she came for. She went down to the city and brought the whole city back to Jesus. He said, "If you drink the water I give you, you'll not thirst." You know what's happening to the world today? They're thirsting. No matter how much water they drink, they're still thirsting. It never quenches their thirst. Am I right? But oh, there was one time that this thirsty boy, I'd tried everybody's well and fountain and faucet and everything else spiritually, but oh, the day that I knelt at the altar and Christ came in, I drank of the well of life. And Jesus said, "If you drink this water, you'll never die. And if you drink this water, it'll be in you a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life." When we drink it, it's up to us to keep drinking it, not let sin separate us. What privilege do we have if Christ is in? I have privilege to drink and never get thirsty. I have a privilege to eat and never get hungry. Am I right? He said, "For my blood is drink indeed, and my body is meat indeed. And he that eateth of me shall never hunger, and he that drinketh of me shall never thirst. That only comes to the ones in Christ. The ones that are living, you have real life. It says that if we do not have Christ in us, we cannot see life. You'll try to see it. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. Why? He's a natural person. But when you're born again and Christ comes within, that's the hope. You see things now that you never saw before. How many believe it is a wonderful thing to have God's divine blessing poured out upon the life of Abraham? And the Bible tells us of how God honored Abraham and blessed him. Now I want you to notice this. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham. God said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. I know what it is to have the blessing of God upon your life. I also know what it is to have the curse of God upon your life. But when I found Christ and Christ came in, immediately there was a blessing of Abraham, for the Bible said that we're blessed through our father Abraham, and in Galatians Paul said that we become blessed with the blessings of Abraham through Jesus Christ, that the blessings of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will bless you. I will pronounce my blessing upon you. And I'll bless everybody that blesses you. And I'll curse everyone that curses you. And he pronounced his blessing financially upon him. And the Word of God tells us that now the blessing of Abraham comes on us as Christians through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wouldn't want to walk across the street today without having the blessing of God on my life. That's how I appreciate the blessing. When the wind-up comes, God's going to call for two people. He's going to cry and he'll say, I want all the blessed. Come thou blessed. And stand over on the right side. And they stand over there. And then he said, come all ye cursed, and stay over on the left hand. And he'll say to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. And he'll say, come thou blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom. Brother, when this world winds up, I'm going through this world knowing what life is. I'm going through this world knowing what the blessing of Abraham is upon my life. I'm going through this world knowing what it is to drink and not thirst, eat and not be hungry. I know what it is to have power over the law of sin and death. Over sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. No Christian has to sin. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Your will is not taken away. You can sin, but you don't have to. The Word of God said, sin shall not have dominion. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free as I walk through this life. The blessings of God are upon me. I have peace. No matter what I have, I am wealthy. Whether I've got a dime or not, I am blessed. God promised, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a wonderful promise. That's a hope, brother, to look forward to. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. If a catastrophe comes, it doesn't matter, brother. We've got it made. And no matter what the headlines say, what the stock market announces, if we are Christians while the world is unraveling and coming apart, the Christians are rejoicing, lifting their heads. Why? Because, brother, we have the morning star that tells us in the dark hour there's going to be a sunlight. Let's stand to our feet.
having these promises, then, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Know ye not the night is far spent, the day is at hand? Then let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And seeing that you have been warned that these things shall surely, surely come to pass, be not dismayed, nor distraught, nor frustrated. Don't you know the Lord thy God is a present help? Have not he promised he'll in no wise leave thee nor forsake thee? Then take courage and say, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my high tower, the Lord is my soon coming King. Therefore I'll not fear and be frustrated, but keep thine eyes on the Lord and thy heart clean and open before him, buying up the opportunities, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In such an hour as you think not, behold, the Son of Man cometh.
Praise God. That was a message directly from God. Raise your hand and let's thank him for speaking to our hearts. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Lord, we love you this morning, we love you this morning, we love you this morning. Glory to God. While I pause just for a moment, it's 12 o'clock, plenty of time. I'm going to let you out right away. It'd be a crime for me to dismiss the crowd and let you go now. There's a need of us doing something. And I'm saying this, you say, Brother Everett, I don't need to worry. I saw to it years ago that Christ came in my heart. I'm not talking about what Christ did years ago. I'm asking you, is he in there this morning? Did I preach last Sunday to you, and did I make it clear that the Laodicean church, he said, I'm tired of the way you live, and now I'm going to get rid of you. And out they went. He vomited them out in the book, Revelation 3rd chapter, read it. And when they vomited out, were they in Christ? No, they were not in Christ. Why? Because they got lukewarm. Listen to me. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I now stand in doubt of you. For a while, I had hope. But now, there's some of you that have sinned, and you haven't repented. And I stand in doubt. And he said, I'm going to come, and God's going to humble me, and I'm going to bewail you until you turn to Christ and repent. And I'm going to pray for you until Christ be formed in you anew. He was there. He is not there now because you have committed certain sins and have not repented. But I'm going to pray that you'll come back and repent of that thing and get God in your life. Now, the little trivial thing, sometime of neglecting, you drift, get back in the flesh. 6 months ago, you may have had the joy and the peace, and you may have had the assurance you knew Christ was there. But this morning, there are sins. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. It's not what has happened. It's what right now do I have Christ. You may go through trials, times of dryness. You don't always have to have a shouting feeling to know that Christ is there. But we know what it is if we commit a sin and God deals with us and we do not repent. And first thing you know, Christ has to leave our life. This morning I have preached the tragedy of being without Christ. I don't care, friend, what you have once experienced. If Christ is not in your heart this morning, you stand just as much in need of having him to come back And you're just as lost without it as the devil himself. Am I right? You cannot be saved without Christ in your heart. Now, if Christ is there, many people fail or make a mistake or sin. They immediately repent. They ask God to forgive. But this morning, I've presented a truth to you. You cannot see life. The Bible said you cannot see life. I come that you might have life. And he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son shall not see life. You cannot have power over the law of sin and death. You cannot have the blessing of Abraham upon you. You cannot drink and be satisfied. You cannot eat and never have hunger. You never have hunger when you eat of him. I could go on. You have that presence of God in your heart. You have the hope. You've got courage. In the darkest hour, you're not frustrated. You know what it is. I'm going to have them play softly, and I want you to do this very quickly this morning. I want every person, boy, girl, man, or woman, whoever you are, if you're not absolutely sure that Christ is in your heart, I want you to come forward, and I could preach an hour on that subject, but I could tell you one thing sure, that if you want to know Christ and you want him back restored in your heart, it's the most simple and it's the easiest thing in all the world. Just one little simple word of raising your hand and saying, Lord, I've failed, I've sinned. I want you to return. I want your presence. You can go out that door with something worth more than the value of this world. And I want you this morning, if you're not absolutely sure that Christ is in your heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory, but if Christ, you're not absolutely sure, I want you to step out all over the audience, and I want you to come, and it's no disgrace. Many times we've had to get down and pray, oh God, stir my heart. I want to be sure, know that it's there. I want you to come and stand right here, and we're going to pray. Would you do it? Just step right out. Just come. Anywhere in the building, I want you to just move out and come here. And as you stand, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to put that joy there. Come on. Just move anywhere in the building. Let God speak to you. Just come right to the front. That's right. Oh, the greatest privilege in the world. That's the joy you can have. That should come right straight on. All right, anyone else, just come. Come right on. All right, come on. Others are moving. Hallelujah. The most honorable thing in all the world is when we take this stand. Right now, the day dawns. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the privilege we have. Would you come? Oh, you want life, you want joy, you want the advantage over the enemy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. These that have come, I want every person in the audience to close your eyes. And I want you to raise your hand. And I'm going to lay my hand upon them right now. We're going to ask Jesus. Raise your hand, sister, right now. Right now, Jesus. Amen. Right now, Lord, let your presence be felt. Let the joy, for he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just thank him, sister. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, brother. Just... Grieve you. Come in my heart. I invite you to come in. I accept you right now, Lord. Amen. My hope, Father, you've seen this statement. You heard it. He that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And now if we confess, you're faithful and just to forgive. You said so. And now, Lord, it's done. It's done. We're not saved by works. It's by faith. We know God says, I will in no wise cast out. How
Hallelujah. While just before we dismiss over this whole audience, how many will say, Brother Hibbard, I'm a Christian, Christ is in my heart, but I can't say I've been my best for God. In the hour that we're living in, the lost on every side, and the Jesus coming most any moment, there's little things I've neglected. I want God to help me and forgive me, and I want to be what He would have me to be. I want to be what He would have me to be. How many believe we owe that to Him if Christ is in here? How many will raise your hand all over the audience? God bless you. Close your eyes. Raise your hand, Father. It's almost everybody in this audience. They're raising their hand and they're realizing, Lord, we ought to be throwing our links for Thee in Jesus' name. Oh God, we know not what an hour shall bring forth. Our nation is trembling because they can't see the morning star. Lord, the Christians, they're the hope of our nation. And we pray to put courage in every heart. Move upon each one that's here this morning. Give the joy. Right now, Lord, we're thanking You. Help us to be our best for Jesus Christ. Help every one of us to cross the path of some lost soul and do our best to win that soul for God. We ask in Jesus' name. Just one little verse, I surrender all, then we're going to be dismissed. Well, I surrender all. Well, I surrender all. Well, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now, we'd like to have Sister Strike and get your name and address so we can pray for you. We can send you some literature. And we thank God for those that are here. Now, don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, the service starts. Father, we pray to dismiss us in Thy fear. Bless us, keep us, and bring us back for the evangelistic service tonight. And Lord, as we go our way, help us to appreciate what it means to be in Christ. And what it means to have Christ in us, it's the hope. For without it, we have no hope. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.